Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long ride, but I made it here with love. I made it here with love. Said I've been up and down and I've been through it all. Took a while to know my heart. Oh, yes, it is. Yeah. Before love like this, you go through the fire and valley lows. But if you just hold on, please hold on. And love is strong, it'll save you. Oh, yeah. Please hold on, it'll save you. Save you.
Peace and love unto all. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, all praises due to Allah. There's no God but Allah. Tonight I'm having a show dedicated to Allah because this month is what we call Ramadan. This is the month where the Holy Quran was revealed. And so this month I want to give love and dedication to Allah and thank Him for all the things that He has done in my life and also the things that He has done in other people's lives. Ramadan is, like I said, it's the month of where the Holy Quran was revealed. It's a time of where we all will reflect on our Creator. And you do not have to just be a Muslim, but if you are a person of faith, you can definitely join into the Ramadan season and join in with us. It's about, you know, if you can basically for 30 days, we're trying to master sustaining from food until, you know, to daybreak, until, you know, dawn. I mean, at the very evening, but that, you know, the night can distinguish the day from the night. And so, therefore, you know, if you can, with these hot months, and I mean, it's very hot out there, if you can sustain from food and water, you know, for at least 12 hours or so, and then that means that you can sustain for a lot of the things that are displeasing to Allah or our Creator. And so, for instance, lying, fornicating, you know, doing, being adulterous, or, you know, a lot of things that we do, drinking, smoking, et cetera. So, and also, if you can't fast and sustain from food, then you can do a kind act, you know, for instance, you can feed someone that may be hungry, and definitely that will help, you know, that will help if you can't sustain, because some people aren't able to sustain from food or water very long because they may have health problems, they may be on medication where they're not able to partake into the sustain of food or water. And that is fine, too. That is the beauty of Allah. He makes it easy for us if we just try. So I'm trying. Also, we also read the Holy Quran for 30 days. We have 114 surahs or chapters, and it's broken down in 30 parts. So each day, you know, you strive to read one part. So with that, I have some clippings to give us some tips on how to, you know, get the most of our Ramadan. So for those that have questions or would like to call in, please do. And so I'm going to put a clip by our beloved minister, and then we're going to discuss this even further. And so with that, thank you. I have a clip from the minister that I would like to play also about fasting, et cetera.
The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Help me, dear family, to receive him. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Here he is. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we give Him praise and thanks for His mercy and His goodness to the human family. The greatest of God's mercies is that He sends into the world prophets and messengers to reveal hidden truths about Himself and about His creation, to help to evolve human beings toward perfection. We thank Allah for Moses and the Torah. We thank Him for Jesus and the Gospel. We thank Him for Muhammad and the Quran. Peace be upon these worthy servants of Allah. I am a student of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I could never thank Allah enough for his intervention in our affairs. In the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever for his raising up among us one to lead, teach, and guide us into that process that would make us what Allah intended for us to be when he created the human being. I greet all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Let me say how thankful to Allah I am that he blessed me to be among you once again, and thankful to Allah for the presence of each and every one of you, especially the believers who have fasted this weekend. My thanks to you for doing that which will make us a better people. In the Holy Quran, which is the book of scripture of the Muslims or the righteous, Allah says, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you. Whenever a people break down and lose themselves, it is because of a lack of discipline that allows the human being to be tempted to do that which is outside of the natural sphere of his life. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. When we go outside of the nature in which God created us, then we go into death. That death is not necessarily a physical death, but it is the erosion of your ability to see, to hear, to speak, to vision, and to bring what we vision into reality. That's death. So when God prescribes fasting, which means you deny yourself something very natural, which is food. We all need food to live. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us food keeps you here, and food takes you away. Anything that you do in extreme will hurt you. Extreme fasting will kill you. Extreme eating will kill you too. So we have to find the balance. So when God asks the righteous to fast in a world like this, and to deny ourselves what our bodies need for nourishment, then that fasting produces a discipline. Because if you can stay away from what you naturally need to live, then you can discipline yourself to stay away from that which is against your life. Smoking, drinking, the use of drugs. Now, fornication and adultery is based on a natural thing. the hunger of the male for the female and the female for the male. But adultery and fornication destroys the social fabric of a community. So does gossiping, lying, slander, backbiting, cheating, stealing. These are things that destroy the social fabric of a community. So if you can deny yourself food, then you can stop lying. If you can deny yourself food, you can stop slander. You can stop gossip. And as powerful as sex is, through fasting, you can gain the discipline to come away from fornication and adultery, which erodes family life, destroys marriage, destroys a nation. So fasting is prescribed for us. Fasting is a prescription from the supreme doctor, God Himself. So I am so thankful to be among the believing community that will attempt, even if you didn't make it, if you attempt it, that's fine. I remember when I first fasted 3 days, it was kind of rough on me, and I was a young man, 22 years of age, but I struggled. And when I made that first fast, it was like I had conquered Mount Everest. And when you can fast, it makes you feel like, I can do a lot of things that I didn't think I could do. So I thank you, all of you who have fasted, and I encourage all of you to eat according to the dietary teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, I know that the Quran gives us the foods to eat. This is a true book, a good book. However, it also teaches us that Allah is going to raise a messenger. Now listen carefully. And teach him al-kitab, the book. What is this Quran called? The book. Not only will he teach him the book, but he'll teach him the wisdom. What is that? If this is a book full of wisdom, and he's going to teach him the book, and he's going to teach him the wisdom, then he's going to teach him the Torah and the gospel. So when you represent the Messiah, you have to speak from all of the revealed words of God that bear witness to the truth that the messenger will bring. It says the messenger will not only open the eyes of the blind by God's permission, make the deaf hear and the dumb speak by Allah's permission, but he will raise the dead to life by Allah's permission. Now, anytime a human exercises the power that is only relegated to God, one of Allah's names in the Quran is the giver of life. Another one of Allah's names is the raiser of the dead. Now, if Allah gives life and can raise the dead, and a human born of a woman opens the eyes of the blind, not by his own power, but by Allah's permission, makes the deaf hear and the dumb speak by Allah's permission, raises the dead to life by Allah's permission, then Allah has put His spirit in that man. Then it says, He will teach them what foods to eat and what foods to store in their houses. Well, this Quran is full of teaching on food. But this messianic figure will go beyond the Quran and teach you what foods to eat and what foods to store in your house as a complement to what is written in the book. Now think about it. Now, if in the Bible, the one who comes at the end of the world comes that we may have life and have it more abundantly, then that one who gives you life in abundance has to teach you the best foods to put in your mouth and how to raise those foods. And since we know that the food merchants in this world are the merchants of death, they have corrupted the earth, corrupted that which comes from the earth. They have poisoned the fish and the meat. So when you eat, you're eating life and death. When you eat from the hand of the merchants of death. So if you don't have a way to eat that helps you cleanse your blood from the natural poisons that are in the best of food, not to think of food that's already poisoned by the enemy trying to fatten the calf or the lamb or the pig or whatever you eat, fatten it by introducing hormones that are against the good health of the animal. So if we feed ourselves on this corrupted meat, corrupted fish, corrupted vegetation, then if you don't have a way to purify yourself, then the poisons will continue to build in your body, build in your blood, be transported to the cells of your brain, and you will find yourself unable to think clearly, unable to vision, and above all, you won't live long enough to bring what you vision into reality. He came that we may have life and have it more abundantly.
The Negative Radio Network, and tonight I want to do something very special for Allah. I want to give Him all the praise and glory for bringing to us the revealing the Holy Quran in this month. And so I'm so grateful. So we were listening to the minister, and he was explaining the importance of fasting because, you know, we eat food these days that have been, you know, chemically raised, et cetera, which causes our body to break down. So therefore, if we would choose, if we would fast every so often, then it would alleviate or, you know, decrease the poisonous in our bodies, and we will be more healthier. So that's why fasting is so good. Also, it's for mental and spiritual upliftment as well. So he was so beautiful, as he always does. Just breaks everything down so beautifully. So I would just, you know, I just wanted to have, like I said, the Ramadan special tonight, inshallah, or God's willing. before this month is over, I will try to have our imam from the Nation of Islam. Hopefully he can come over here and explain more into depth the meaning of Ramadan and what it means. But also, it's a month of, like I said, of sustaining from food and water, as you know, from eat early in the morning before the sun comes up, and then after, and then when it goes down, when you know, it's like it's in the very, very late evening, and then we partake in food also, and or water, if for those that can. Well, for those that can't, don't feel bad, because as I was, you know, humbly explaining to someone, that it's about your relationship with Allah or the Creator. We all have different levels. We all are strong in some, you know, in some ways, and we all have weaknesses in other ways. But if we are strong in some ways, then that's uplift each other and not put each other down, because, you know, one may be a little weak in their area or in that area. It's all about strengthening ourselves for the glory and the beauty and the praises of Allah. You know, it's not to put anyone down. It's not to compare yourself to anyone. It's all about that one-on-one connection with Allah. And so if anyone would like to make a comment, or, you know, just give their experiences of fasting and what it means, of Ramadan, or anything else that they would like to share, and then please, please come on and share it. Or, you know, you can also, you know, I mean, I have the chat line open, so you can ask questions, et cetera, and I would definitely try to answer those the best of my ability. And so I will see if anyone would like to talk at this time. If not, then I will put on another clip to further explain the meaning and the beauty, and some tips on how to get the most of your Ramadan phones. All right, we have a caller here, 5196. You're now live at the Initiative Radio Network.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, Sister Lakeisha. So nice to hear your voice, sister. Thank you so much for calling in. And Ramadan Mubarak to you, sister.
Ramadan Kareem, Sister Pamela. Thank you for having your show this evening. And I just wanted to call and say Ramadan Mubarak to you and all of the callers, and share a little bit about my experience. The first few days have been, the first day was a little rough.
Yes, ma'am.
However, I relaxed a little for the day, studied, and continued to just call on Allah whenever I feel weak during the fast. I will go to the Holy Quran, or say a short prayer, or, you know, just sit in meditation and ask Allah to strengthen me. So, by Allah's grace, we're on day three. And 27 more to go.
That's right. Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for calling in. And also, could you please share with us the prayer line that you are a part of, that you did so beautifully when I was on about, what, a week or so ago? But could you please share with the listening audience? Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Alhamdulillah. Every morning throughout the year, the Fajr prayer line is on, with the exception of during Ramadan. We're on, but we join forces with the Ramadan prayer line. So there are several numbers that believers can call into to hear a special message during Ramadan, which Sister Nisa and her husband, Brother Jalal, Brother Jalil, I'm sorry, established that line. Excuse me. And the number to the Ramadan prayer line is 712-770-4160. The PIN number is 937032. I'll read that again. It's 712-770-4160. One PIN number is 937032. Another PIN number for that 4160 is 588878. There's another PIN number. There are four lines, four call-in lines, and then you can also listen on touchfm.org. touchfm.org. The line, it broadcasts live at 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time every morning during Ramadan. Sister Nisa has a list of guest presenters each morning. We heard from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on Saturday the 27th. On the 28th, we heard from Imam Siraj Wahaj. And this morning, we were blessed to hear from Dr. Safiya Shabazz from Philadelphia. So the line is there, and it's encouraging. It's short. It's to the point, but it's an inspiration for all of us to be on.
Yes, ma'am. Beautiful, sister. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I would like to say to those that have or may not have ever been on the prayer line, it's a beautiful upliftment. And if you are a Muslim faith, or if you are a person who is striving, you know, definitely, it can definitely benefit you too. It's beautiful and it's uplifting, and to give you strength and courage, and you know, to have strength to get through a lot of the difficulties that life sometimes brings. So I would definitely, you know, invite you to listen to that. And Sister Lucretia, beautiful job you do. Sister, I'm not going to keep you long because I know you're trying to rest and, you know, partaking, breaking fast and, you know, all the things that a sister or woman has to do to keep a household running. So I'm not going to keep you long, but I do really appreciate you. You're a beautiful sister. I just love you. And I wish you and the best of the best of the best, sister.
Praises I do to Allah, sister. Thank you for your kind words. And I would just like to say to those, excuse me, who are not able to fast from food,
yes,
because of, you know, medical conditions or other situations, you know, we've been given by Allah ways to make up for that, which is, you know, giving to the poor or servicing others in acts of charity. And, you know, let not your heart be troubled. Keep your spirits up. Allah knows best, and we still pray that Allah's bountiful blessings come upon all of us during this most sacred time of the year. Thank you, Sister Pamela, so much. I love you too, and I appreciate you for all that you do. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much. Let me more. Assalamu alaikum. You have a blessed evening, sister.
Thank you. You too, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All right, beautiful, beautiful. Our dear sister Lucretia was on, and such a beautiful sister. We do, like I said, definitely appreciate her taking her time out, because I know definitely going through a fast, it's a beautiful, at the same time, it takes strength. You know, you get weak sometimes, you know, for lack of holding out or striving to, you know, our day of, you know, water, you know, to later on. So we thank our dear sister for her for coming on and sharing with us. And so with that, we're going to see, do we have any more callers? If we don't, then we're going to play a clip from a beautiful sister. I think her name pronounced T-H-S-H-A, from Muhammad. She's a beautiful young sister who is, she made actually a YouTube video that she's explaining or sharing the experiences of going through a fast and some of the survival tips and that she's given to help those that are striving to go in the fast to make it a bit easier and also, you know, make it enjoyable. So with that, until we get another call or question, we're going to listen to our dear sister, and then I think I have one more clip by the minister. But I'm going to play her story. So.
Ramadan Mubarak. I'm just going to give you guys some tips and tricks of how to survive during Ramadan. Hi everyone, my name is T.H. Mandisa and this is my tips and tricks for how to survive during Ramadan. So first and foremost, I want to start off by greeting you all in the greeting words of peace in the Arabic language as Assalamu Alaikum. This literally translates into the English as peace be unto you. So as Muslims, we greet each other with this, just like saying hi or hello, but instead we say Assalamu Alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak! It's Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan, where all Muslims around the world celebrate Ramadan for 30 days. This month, it happens to be in the month of June, and it starts with the first sighting of the moon in Mecca. Ramadan is when you abstain during the daylight hours of food, water, and other worldly activities, such as sexual activities, drinking, no cursing, no lying. You want to make sure that everybody is being nice to each other, being productive, not being lazy, and most of all, you're praying and just trying to make yourself a better person, a better Muslim. So the reason why Ramadan is so sacred for Muslims is because the first few verses of the Holy Quran, which is our holy book, was revealed during the month of Ramadan. During the month of Ramadan, one of the main things that we focus on besides making sure that we're keeping up with all five of our prayers during the day is to read the entire Quran during the whole entire 30 days of Ramadan. Well, the Holy Quran is comprised of 114 surahs or chapters, and it's actually broken up into 30 sections so that you should be able to read a section a day in order to complete it by the end of Ramadan. So it may sound easy, but not one of the most easiest things to do, especially if you don't read your Quran all the time. Ramadan is really about breaking old habits and creating new ones. Yes, Ramadan is hard. It's not easy, but it's still fun. Like, it may be hard, but the more you get into it, the more you want to do it, the more you do it with other people, and you have the support of other Muslims around you who are also partaking in Ramadan, it becomes easier. So some people might ask themselves, okay, why will Ramadan be fun? You can't eat during the day, you can't drink, you can't do this, you can't do that, you have to pray all day and read your Quran. But if you've actually fasted before, if you've partaken in Ramadan before, it's actually not as hard as it seems. I know me personally, the fasting part and the drinking part isn't the hard part. It's making sure that I am keeping my attitude in check. I ain't going off on nobody. And not being lazy. But one of the hardest things for me is waking up in the morning for Fajr. And I know I should be praying every morning at 5 a.m. or 4:30 this time of year. But I'm working on it. Allah knows my intentions. He knows I'm working on it. So remember that whenever you're going through Ramadan, you're not alone. There are approximately 1.6 billion other Muslims around the world who are partaking in Ramadan. So don't feel alone. Even if you may not know a lot of other Muslims, there might not be a mosque close by you. I'm just going to give you guys some tips and tricks of how to survive during Ramadan. So let's get into it. So first, this is our Holy Quran. This is translated by Maulana Muhammad Ali. It's green, and it's a paperback. So we are day 3 into Ramadan. So as you see, I'm behind. I'm on part 2. They are broken up into parts like this, if you can see, where it says part 2 here. So as you're reading, you'll know when to stop for each section. Well, for me, I know it's hard for me to try to read on my own and keep up with it, even though Allah knows I'll be trying, y'all. I'll really be trying. If you can't keep up with the reading, there are actually ways to help you keep up with these readings. There are, one, audio versions or audio recitations where you can read along with someone reading it to you. You can't just have them read it to you. You need to read it too, because it doesn't count if you're not reading it. But our mosque, we actually have Ramadan prayer lines, our Ramadan Quranic readings every morning, where people can request to read the day before. So what you do is, if we have a certain section, each person reads a particular verse in the Quran. Say if you have verses 130 all the way to verse 139, and each person will read a particular section until we get to the very end of the section that we're supposed to read for that day. So that's one of the helpful ways that I feel like is very useful during Ramadan, when you know you need to keep up with your Quran every day, but it's just, you're just struggling. And I feel like if you have some time during the day, even if you can't read an entire section at one sitting, try to read small verses of each section. Like, just break it down. Just get through it. Like, you really can do it. You just have to have faith in yourself that you can do it. And I know right now, yes, I am behind. I'm bad with them. But I'm getting there. I'm going to get there, and I know I'm going to finish because I refuse to have yet another year go by and I'm behind. But just like I said, know that there are other Muslims around you who can help you read too. So my tip number two would be to get you a Ramadan buddy. Like, nobody said you couldn't have a Ramadan buddy. Like, get some one or two people who you guys come together every day and read, whether you guys read over the phone or on FaceTime or together. There are people out there who need just as much help as you do. Don't think, like I said, that you're alone, because you're not. And even if somebody might be ahead of you or whatever, just let them know. Be like, brother, my sister, so-and-so, I need help. Like, can you help me read my Quran so that I can...
Yes, we're going to stop that tape from the dear sister and bring in our next caller, I believe. I know who this is. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, let us alone, sister. How you doing?
I'm fine, brother Marcel. Thank you so much, beloved brother, for calling in. I know you're very busy, young man, but I will I wanted to have this special program tonight, and it is dedicated none other than the beautiful Allah, our Creator. And so I wanted to have show about experiences of Ramadan, your experiences. What do you get from it? What would you hope to get from it? Your experiences. I'm not going to keep you long, sir, but I would be so grateful if you would just share your experiences thus far of Ramadan or fasting or, you know, the believing unity, et cetera, of the beliefs, or, you know, those that, you know, anyone that has touched you, or you know, touched them in a way of doing a kind act, et cetera. Yes, sir. So could you please share that with us?
Yes, all praise be to Allah. It's definitely an honor to be able to be on the show tonight. And, you know, for me personally, Ramadan is about drawing closer to Allah. You know, fasting, yes. You know, things you drink and food during the daylight hours, you know, that's a part of it, but it's not the sum total of it, at least for me. You know, I've taken the liberty to try to wean myself off of a lot of substances, and I felt like, well, I know for a fact, based off of science, and that just really aren't good for your body, like soy, like high fructose corn syrup, like white sugar, you know, things of that nature that really prevent your body operating at its optimal level. So I've been able to do that. I've been able to stay on pace with my Quranic reading. And, you know, being down here in Florida, it's very, very hot down here in Florida. But, you know, but by Allah's grace and mercy, I'm drinking more water, drinking more natural juices, and I'm really just appreciating the body, you know, that Almighty God Allah gave us, because I think that, you know, as we go through life and we go through trials and, you know, we're always traveling, we're always doing something, sometimes we can forget about this thing called body. And, you know, we're only going to get one body. You know, how we treat this body of ours will determine how long we stay here. And so I'm rededicating my love to my body. I'm rededicating my commitment to my body and trying to get as much out of this life as I possibly can, because like I said, we only get one body, and the goal is to take the discipline that I established in the month of Ramadan and let it transcend the other 11 months of the year. That's my goal, and I'm so thankful, you know, for this way of life, for this religion, for, you know, Master Muhammad and giving us the gift of being able to submit to him and become what he is, and that is a God.
Praise be to Allah. Beautiful, brother. Beautiful. Let me ask you one question. I know you have to go and you were busy, but was so graciously took the time out to call in. I definitely am going to keep it real. I love sugary things, and I know it's not good for me, and I'm trying my best to, to learn how to decrease that. You said that you are striving to take sugar. I know especially the white sugar is not good for us, but most everything that they make, of course, in stores, they put sugar in it. So what are you doing? What is a substitute, brother, for taking sugar or decreasing sugar out of your diet? Please let your sister know. So I need help.
Yes, sir. I'm right there with you because I've always been a big sugar eater. You know, coming to Islam, it definitely come down considerably because before I was in Islam, all I ate was pork and sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But
one
of the methods that I'm using is, one, it wasn't even so much white sugar for me. It was high fructose corn syrup. And I didn't realize how much of things I was eating and drinking that had high fructose corn syrup in it. And it wasn't until maybe about a year ago when I found out that they put high fructose corn syrup in baby formula. So from the time that we were babies, our body called high fructose corn syrup because that's what we were nursed on. So it's really, it's tough. And that's why, like, when you're fasting and you're getting away from it, your body is literally going through withdrawal. So it's not that you're hungry. It's that your body is used to getting a certain dosage of high fructose corn syrup or a certain dosage of sugar or a certain dosage of soy per day. And when you don't give your body that, it starts to, if you will, act out. But if you stay consistent 2, 3, 4 days, now your body is not expecting it on the regular. So I would say fruits.
Yes, sir.
I would
definitely say,
because fruits have natural sugar. There's nothing wrong with natural sugar. Even if you go out and you get cane sugar, cane sugar is a natural sugar. Obviously, we don't want to get too much of it, but nevertheless, cane sugar is very, very good. I would also try mango. Mango is a very, very sweet fruit. Natural sugars are not bad for you. It's just this white bleached sugar that the enemy puts in everything, and it literally turns us into junkies. You know, I was reading a study that said that white sugar is more addictive than cocaine. You know,
you're absolutely right.
You know, like I said, my mom used to call me her little vampire because at nighttime when I was real, real young, I used to sneak downstairs and climb up on the counter and go in the cabin and eat oatmeal pies and Vienna sausages. And she'd come in the kitchen and catch me knocked out on the kitchen counter. So, you know, we all have our dietary challenges. For some of us, it's sugar. For some of us, it's pork. For some of us, you know, it varies. But nevertheless, it is very, very possible to wean ourselves off of it if we have the mindset to do so.
That's right. Praise be, because I would thank you, brother, for that encouragement. It definitely gave me some encouragement to work on some things that I, have to work on. I appreciate you for taking out the time, as always, to have that beautiful wisdom that inspire us all. Thank you so, so much.
All praise be to Allah. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, wonderful. I have a beautiful brother, my son, who definitely is a beautiful brother. We're going to finish playing the video that we were listening to earlier. And now if we get a call, definitely we will stop to take our the call. But until then, we're going to listen to our dear sister who is sharing the tips of how to have the most out of your Ramadan. So with that, we're going to hopefully it'll start what we left out, but if not, it may just start over. So with that, let's finish listening to her, and then we have another clip on fasting and by our dear minister. So we're going to listen to her a bit, then we'll take a commercial or a call hopefully after this. Thank you.
Ramadan Mubarak! I'm just going to give you guys some tips and tricks of how to survive during Ramadan. Hi everyone, my name is T.H. Mandisa and this is my tips and tricks for how to survive during Ramadan. So first and foremost, I want to start off by greeting you all in the greeting words of peace in the Arabic language as Assalamu Alaikum. This literally translates into English as peace be unto you. So as Muslims, we greet each other with this, just like saying hi or hello, but instead we say Assalamu Alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak! It's Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan, where all Muslims around the world celebrate Ramadan for 30 days. This month, it happens to be in the month of June, and it starts with the first sighting of the moon in Mecca. Ramadan is when you abstain during the daylight hours of food, water, and other worldly activities, such as sexual activities, drinking, no cursing, no lying. You want to make sure that everybody is being nice to each other, being productive, not being lazy, and most of all, you're praying and just trying to make yourself a better person, a better Muslim. So the reason why Ramadan is so sacred for Muslims is because the first few verses of the Holy Quran, which is our holy book, was revealed during the month of Ramadan. During the month of Ramadan, one of the main things that we focus on besides making sure that we're keeping up with all five of our prayers during the day is to read the entire Quran during the whole entire 30 days of Ramadan. Well, the Holy Quran is comprised of 114 surahs or chapters, and it's actually broken up into 30 sections so that you should be able to read a section a day in order to complete it by the end of Ramadan. So it may sound easy, but not one of the most easiest things to do, especially if you don't read your Quran all the time. Ramadan is really about breaking old habits and creating new ones. Yes, Ramadan is hard. It's not easy, but it's still fun. Like, it may be hard, but the more you get into it, the more you want to do it, the more you do it with other people, and you have the support of other Muslims around you who are also partaking in Ramadan, it becomes easier. So some people might ask themselves, okay, why would Ramadan be fun? You can't eat during the day, you can't drink, you can't do this, you can't do that, you have to pray all day and read your Quran. But if you've actually fasted before, if you've partaken in Ramadan before, it's actually not as hard as it seems. I know me personally, the fasting part and the drinking part isn't the hard part. It's making sure that I am keeping my attitude in check, ain't going off on nobody, and not being lazy. But one of the hardest things for me is waking up in the morning for Fajr, and I know I should be praying every morning at 5 a.m. or 4:30 this time of year, but I'm working on it. Allah knows my intentions. He knows I'm working on it. So remember that whenever you're going through Ramadan, you're not alone. There are approximately 1.6 billion other Muslims around the world who are partaking in Ramadan. So don't feel alone. Even if you may not know a lot of other Muslims, there might not be a mosque close by you. I'm just going to give you guys some tips and tricks of how to survive during Ramadan. So let's get into it. So first, this is our Holy Quran. This is translated by Maulana Muhammad Ali. It's green, and it's a paperback. So we are day 3 into Ramadan, so as you can see, I'm behind, I'm on part 2. They are broken up into parts like this, if you can see, where it says part 2 here. So as you're reading, you'll know when to stop for each section. So for me, I know it's hard for me to try to read on my own and keep up with it, even though Allah knows I'll be trying. I'll really be trying. If you can't keep up with the reading, there are actually ways to help you keep up with these readings. There are, one, audio versions or audio recitations where you can read along with someone reading it to you. You can't just have them read it to you. You need to read it too, because it doesn't count if you're not reading it. But our mosque, we actually have Ramadan prayer lines, our Ramadan Quranic readings every morning, where people can request to read the day before. So what you do is, if we have a certain section, each person reads a particular verse in the Quran. Say if you have verses 130 all the way to verse 139, and each person will read a particular section until we get to the very end of the section that we're supposed to read for that day. So that's one of the helpful ways that I feel like is very useful during Ramadan, when you know you need to keep up with your Quran every day, but it's just, you're just struggling. And I feel like if you have some time during the day, even if you can't read an entire section at one sitting, try to read small verses of each section. Like, just break it down. Just get through it. Like, you really can do it. You just have to have faith in yourself that you can do it. And I know right now, yes, I am behind. But I'm getting there. I'm going to get there, and I know I'm going to finish, because I refuse to have yet another year go by and I'm behind. But just like I said, know that there are other Muslims around you who can help you read too. So my tip number two would be to get you a Ramadan buddy. Like, nobody said you couldn't have a Ramadan buddy. Like, get some one or two people who you guys come together every day and read, whether you guys read over the phone or on FaceTime or together. There are people out there who need just as much help as you do. Don't think, like I said, that you're alone, because you're not. And even if somebody might be ahead of you or whatever, just let them know. Be like, brother, a sister, so-and-so, I need help. Like, can you help me read my Quran so that I can keep up? Please, you will be blessed if you help me with my Quran readings. Even if your Ramadan buddy, you need help waking up for prayer or Fajr in the morning, have them call you if your alarm isn't enough. If you know that person is going to be up, be like, hey, can you call me in the morning? Or can you call me to make sure that I'm going to bed on time? Yes, it might seem a little, you know, like, go to bed on time. I don't need nobody to call me, tell me I need to go to bed. But you might, because the thing is, if you can't get up for Fajr, one of the main reasons why could be that you're not going to bed on time. But Allah knows your intentions. So if you go to bed on time and you know you want to get up for Fajr, guess what? You're going to get up for Fajr. But you have to want it. If you're just like, ugh, okay, I got to get up at 4:30 in the morning. I hear my alarm every morning. Now, do I get up every morning? You know, I'm trying to get there. So like I said, at the end of the day, Allah knows your intentions. And if your intentions are pure and you really, really, really want to get through the fast, want to get through your prayers, want to get through your Quran reading, you want to strive to be a better person than you were at the beginning of the 30 days, then trust me, you will get there. You just have to have faith in yourself and ask Allah for strength. My tip number three is going to be apps. Now, I have this app called it's a Muslim Pro app, and it's green. Oh, what happened? Okay, so it looks like this whenever you open it. The next prayer time is at 4:56. And it shows you as you slide over every single prayer time. So right now, it is 3:25. Our next prayer is Asr prayer, which is at 4:59. Then Isha is at 10:15. And then you have Fajr at 3:36 in the morning. Apparently, I was an hour off. Allah forgive me. Astaghfirullah. Along with the prayer times, it actually allows you to alert yourself here if you want to be alerted with the Adhan during each prayer time. So say you do want to wake up for each prayer, or you want to if you want to get up for each prayer and you're doing something and you might forget, it gives you the Adhan, or it gives you the opportunity to be able to choose from your regular alarm ringer tone, or even just vibrates. So the reason why I like this app is because it has the Qibla, which shows you a compass of where the east, or where the Kaaba is in Mecca. So, you know, as Muslims, we pray towards the east, because the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. So the east right now was about right over there. So yeah, I was right. I always have my prayer rug, which is right here. Show you my little prayer rug my mom got me. Shout out to my mom. So this is my prayer rug. And when I put it, I have it facing this way towards the window, which is east. Another good thing about this app is it has the Quran in it. So when you click on the Quran, it has every single surah for you. And if you actually have completed the surah, it'll have a little bar here to show how much you have completed of each one. So it says, now I don't read my Quran on here. I actually just read out of my Quran. So if you were to read on this one, it says the last one that I read was Al-Baqarah, which is the cow, Surah 2. So if you wanted to read aloud, it will. And you can read along. So as as it's going along, it actually has an English translation, and you have the opportunity to actually have this app read to you in English, but you have to pay $4 in order to get the complete app, which in my opinion would be worth it if you have $4, you know. It shows you all the local mosques in your area, so if you don't have a mosque near you or you don't know a mosque that's near you, there are plenty of mosques in this app that are somewhere near you. It also has other features such as a zakat calculator, so it can help you calculate your funds to give charity, which is also one of our five pillars of Islam, being a zakat, hajj, salat, I'm not sure, fasting during the month of Ramadan, and our testimony of faith, which is there is no God but Allah. So, with that being said, it also has du'as, it has you the 99 names of Allah, sleep, your shahada. It shows you halal places just like it shows you mosques around the area. Tip number four is fasting. So, I read that during suhoor, which is in the morning before the sun rises when you can eat. We're really not supposed to eat in the morning before the day. I find that if I was to eat in the morning during the day, I would feel heavy. And I just feel like it's cheating. Like, if you just eat a whole bunch of food, like, right before the sun sets, it kind of, like, defeats the purpose of the fast. Not really defeats the purpose, but you can have, like, light foods like crackers or fruits. Like, say if you ate a stick of celery, whatever, but you shouldn't be drinking any pop, like, nothing with a whole bunch of sugar or a whole bunch of salt in it and artificial sweeteners or whatever. But it is good to try to drink your coffee in the morning. Drink your coffee, drink your water, eat an apple, an orange, something like that you know will be light, but you know that can sustain you during the day. During suhoor, one of the good things to eat is a banana because it's high in potassium, which also can not only sustain you through the day, but it can keep you hydrated during the day too. So you better get them bananas. If you don't like bananas, you better start liking them because they are what's going to help you get through your fast in the morning time whenever you're first starting. Always break your fast with some water and an Allahu Akbar for getting you through the day. So once that sun sets, the sun sets here in Rockford at 8:36 p.m. And I know at 8:35 I had my butt down in the kitchen waiting for the clock to say 8:36 so I can take that first sip of water. So my advice to you during iftar, which is the time when the sun sets and you eat, is to pace yourself. You have not eaten all day. So if you have not eaten all day, then you trying to shove a whole bunch of food into your stomach is not going to help. It's not going to make you feel good. You're going to feel sick. You're going to feel heavy. And it's just going to defeat the whole purpose of everything that you accomplish throughout the day as far as not eating. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, tells us that we should eat dates to break our fast because they're not too hard on the stomach and they're actually very nutritious. Personally, at first, I didn't used to like dates, but my mom loved dates. She's obsessed with them. So I really kept growing to like them. But I know, like, whenever I break my fast, I'll drink my water, and then I will eat some fruit. Like, yesterday, I think I had some watermelon and a banana and some oranges. Whenever you are breaking your fast, you want to make sure that you're eating something that you know is going to have you full, but not too full, because whenever you haven't eaten all day, and as you go through Ramadan and you get used to not eating during the daytime, your stomach organ is actually going to shrink. So it's going to be harder for you to fill up like you did before, like getting as full. But that's good, though, because your stomach is training itself to not want and need food as much. One of the reasons why we fast during Ramadan is because if you're able to suppress your hunger, your thirst, and sexual desires and anything like that, then you can really, nothing can stop you. Like, if you can go throughout the whole day without eating some food, then you're gonna be sick. Can't nobody tell you nothing. Like, if you can go throughout the day without drinking, you're gonna be sick. And like, after day three of Ramadan, once you've gotten into it and you just really got your groove going, you know, you don't even think about food like that. Of course, your stomach might make a little noise every now and then. You just, and go and watch your business. Like, you're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. During Ramadan, I eat bean soup, navy bean soup, because the navy bean is one of the most healthiest and nutritious things that you can eat. It clears out all of those toxins. I always try to make sure I give me a large cup of bean soup, because if I don't eat anything else, At least I know I've had some bean soup and it's going to detox my body. I'm working at a water park, outside in the sun, serving some food to some people who can eat all day long. So imagine how that is. Not only are you in the sun, you can't drink any water, but you're surrounded by food, the smell, people just eating, and you're just like... feeling a little salty because you can't eat. But it's okay because, like I said, as you go through it, if you know you can do it, like, it ain't nothing to a G. It ain't no food during the daytime. It ain't nothing. You know, we OG Muslims out here. Like, just because the food is there and you know you can eat after sunset doesn't mean that you need to hoard a whole bunch of food and snacks to have afterwards. Something that I did last Ramadan that I've realized was probably not the best choice was I would go to work and they would have food. Like, they would have snacks and stuff. And I would be like, oh, let me just get this so I can eat it later, like, when I break fast. And I would just be eating snacks throughout the night. Like, that's a no-go. So if I'm like, I want a snack, I'll eat some fruit, like, during the nighttime. And whatever you feed your body with, whatever you feed your mind with, is how you're going to, what is what you're going to exude. So if I'm filling my body with a whole bunch of sugars and fats, I'm just going to be just that. I'm going to be a sugary fat fool. I'm going to be sluggish. I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be full. I'm not going to want to do anything. But when you eat good things and you fill your body with good things throughout the Ramadan fasting, after that, you won't, after Ramadan, you won't even want to eat those things like that anymore. You won't even have a desire to eat those things. If somebody's offering you food during the day, just politely say, no, I'm fasting. Or you don't even have to do all of it. Just say no. And if people start to question, just be like, no, it's okay. And if they really start to question, just be like, look, you can explain to them, it's Ramadan, I don't eat during this hour. And I know you have those people who are like, you don't eat. What's wrong with you? What you mean you don't eat? I could never not eat. Crunch, crunch. Just ask Allah for strength. That's all it takes. And He will make sure all of those people at a certain point will go away. You won't even have those little mini trials like that anymore. Because Allah know you got this. He know you triple OG of fasting. Just calling on Allah, period, all day long will sustain you. If you know you're somebody who curses a lot, somebody who has a short temper, somebody who is cranky or who feels lazy or you feel just a little discouraged, just ask Allah for strength. Just ask Allah, please give me strength through this day, through this fast and this hour, because I'm really trying to get through this day, y'all. Like, for real, for real. You will really, really, really be tried during Ramadan. And that's one thing that everybody needs to remember, that during Ramadan, you will be tried. So don't think that you won't be tried, because the thing is, it can be easy and fun, but there'd just be those times when that one person will say to you, you need to drink some water because you shouldn't be not drinking no water or fasting. And you're just going to be like, get that up out of my face because it's already hard for me. But, you know, you just got to, if I don't get enough sleep and I know I got to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning or 4:30, 3:30, whatever for prayer, and on top of that I can't eat or drink any water, I do get a little cranky, and then everything, I already have a short tolerance for things. But during Ramadan, whenever I can't eat or drink and I have a little bit of sleep, it goes from here to here, and it's terrible sometimes. I have to tell myself to just calm down. It's Ramadan. Good vibes. Like, can't be going off on nobody right now because Allah is watching. He is watching, y'all. He is everywhere. So when you go off on that one person, when you think of them, you're just thinking about it. He gonna hear that thought. So we just want to make sure that we're clearing our minds, our bodies, and our souls of all negative energy, and we're bringing in positive energy, because Ramadan is a purification process. That's the whole point of us staying away from food, drink, sexual activity, and satanic worldly things that feed our lower desires. Tip number 5 is going to be hydration. So like I said, I'm going to be working out in the hot sun, and in the Midwest, it is so humid and hot, and like, it is always hot, and I'm going to be working out in the sun with just a visor to protect me. So y'all already know I'm going to be hot as heck, sweating like a cow, sweating bullets, not able to drink anything. I try to make sure that I drink as much water as possible during the night, but I read that you don't want to drink all of your water during iftar at one time, because when you drink water and you haven't had anything in your stomach, that water is going to fill you up and you're not going to be able to eat. So then, because you're not going to be able to eat, you're going to wake up and you're going to feel hungry the next day. It's good to take a little bit of your water, eat and sip it, at night, whenever I go to bed, I'll drink a little bit of water. I'll make sure I drink some water right before I'm going to bed. And then in the morning when I wake up for Fajr, I'll drink water up until the point where I know the sun is about to set. Even, you know, if you got to make timers throughout the morning and throughout the night to remind you to drink water, do that. Because that's going to help you stay hydrated during the day, especially if you're doing manual labor or if you're going to be on the sun or outside like me during the daytime every single day, all day long. So tip number 6 is what we all know as the Ramadan breath. I have gotten cottonmouth sometimes, but with cottonmouth, what you can do is take some water, swish it around in your mouth, and then spit it out. It's okay to do that. The other thing is to get you some cloves. Some whole cloves that you can chew on if you know your breath is a little tart during the day. Like in the morning whenever you go to sleep, in the morning whenever you wake up, after you have digested food over the night, all of your stomach acids and things like that have risen up in your throat, and that's how you get morning breath. So throughout the day, if you haven't eaten anything, your stomach is really just only digesting what it had the night before. You know, if your mouth's dry, it can be a little, you know, offensive. So in order to stop that, if you know that you do have problems with your breath, is to have a whole clove. You can't ever go wrong with no cloves, okay? Now, peppermints and gum, that's not a choice because that's cheating. But these cloves, you suck on them, you chew them, and then you spit them out. Allah is watching. Other things that I've seen people do is to carry a toothbrush with them. Now, this is my toothbrush. I don't have a mini disposable one. But some people have the little disposable ones that fold, and they take it with them to work. They just, you know, sometimes to brush your teeth if you don't want to do the cloves. But my advice would to be just make sure that you thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly brush your teeth in the morning. Your tongue should be pink. And if you see your tongue as any color other than pink, if it's green, white, whatever, that still means you have bacteria in your tongue. And that bacteria is really going to permeate in your mouth, and it's going to grow throughout the day if you have not thoroughly cleaned your mouth. Your clothes and your toothbrush are what's going to get that Ramadan breath in check. Because we ain't for no Ramadan breath. That's a no-no. We want to make sure we're helping our Muslim brothers and sisters, not hurting them with their breath. Tip number 6 is productivity. Now, last year, even though I had a job, I was working at the library, I still was a little lazy. No excuse to why. What I do during the day, or actually right before I go to bed, I'm going to show you guys. Yoga is actually what helped me a lot last Ramadan. There's a lady, her name's Adrienne, and she actually has a 30-day yoga routine on her YouTube page. Tonight I'll be on day 3, inshallah. So as far as studying and mental cleansing, what I do is I listen to Minister Louis Farrakhan's lecture series called The Time of What Must Be Done. So he has it on YouTube. And all of these things I'm going to link down in the description box. It's very, very uplifting to be able to listen to things. He incorporates the Bible and the Quran. Of course, he's Muslim as well. But it's very uplifting to know that even if you can't read a book, you've done something that has helped cleanse your mind and is allowing you to study and to elevate your mind to a higher level of thinking each day during your fast instead of watching TV. But during Ramadan, I don't listen to music, and I might listen to some clips of music if I'm putting together my YouTube videos, but I deleted my Netflix. I don't watch TV, so this is my replacement for television. So my other tip would be about working out. Some light workout videos on YouTube, now they have apps, like there's an app called Swerkit, and then there's an app called, what is the other one called? And I use those apps to help me keep up with what day I'm on, and it reminds you of your workout throughout the day. So personally, I find it most beneficial to work out right after Fajr in the morning. When I wake up at like 4:30 for prayer afterwards, I find it most beneficial to like do my little workout. Like after I've read my prayer, after I've read my Quran after prayer, which is about, 30 minutes to an hour, say it's about 5:30, 6 o'clock, I want to do a light workout where I'll just, do a couple ab workouts, maybe even some push-ups and some squats. It's good to do before the sun sets, right before the sun rises, because you know you already drank your water and you should be good. For those who have a hard time staying away from music, I would advise just listen to something that doesn't have a lot of profanity. Because whatever you listen to during the day is what you're going to be thinking about, what you're going to be feeling like. So if you like Future and if you like Drake, then you know they don't talk about the best of things at times, you know. So I would say it's best to try to listen to some classical. And I know classical might sound boring or dumb, but it will really, really, really put your mind at peace, and you will really feel more in control of yourself throughout the fast and throughout the 30 days of Ramadan. Like, I don't need that, you know? Like, I can do without that stuff. I feel better. Like, you will notice the difference in yourself and your mind and your body once you start eliminating those things from your life. And that's what Allah wants from us. He wants to see that we can push those things away in order to make ourselves not only closer to Him, but more in control of us. Because when we are in control of us, our urges and our desires, nobody can really hurt us or harm us. That's just about it. Just remember that during the prayer, you want to make sure you're giving charity, you're doing unto others as you would want done unto yourself. Because for all of these good deeds that you do during Ramadan, just know that you're going to be rewarded back. Allah is going to bless you for all of the good deeds that you've done, for all of the bad things that you're eliminating that He does not desire for us to have in our lives. Every single thing that you let go of and you try to make better with yourself and your family, your friends, to make us all one ummah, is what He's going to bless. He's going to bless you for all of those good things that you do. I think it's 21 days to make or break a habit, either 21 or 28. I'm sorry if I'm wrong. So if you've broken all of those bad habits, afterwards, you're going to be a better person than you were in the beginning of the 30 days, which is ultimately the goal of Ramadan anyway. These are just my personal tips and tricks for Ramadan and how I get through my fast and throughout my days. If you have your own personal tips or tricks that you would like to share, please let me know. What I want to achieve during my Ramadan is to, one, be more productive during the day, which I have done a good job at. Try to help your brothers and sisters. If you think you're doing good on your fast, you can easily help your family members, encourage the believers around you to just get through it. Like, I know I wanted to break my fast yesterday. It was 8:26, and I was just like, I only got 20 minutes. But I'm just like, no, what's the point? You went, 16 hours of this day not eating? You can go 10 more minutes. Just know that you will be fine. If you need help, ask. But more importantly, ask Allah. Like, somebody told me, which I think is also in the Quran, and I heard Mr. Farrakhan say as well, that the one thing that is going to sustain you throughout your fasting Ramadan is prayer. Even if it's not Ramadan, prayer, talking to Allah, that's going to sustain you and that's going to help you in your life. So if you keep saying those little prayers like, Allah, please give me strength. Allah, please let me get through this fast. Allah, please help me fight these urges. Allah, Allah, Allah. He loves when we talk to Him. So keep talking to your God throughout the day. It's going to be all right. Get your Quran, and we got this, okay? Well, thank you so much for tuning into my channel. Please like and subscribe. I'll see you next time. Bye. My How to Survive During Ramadan Tips and Tricks.
Here again, and welcome back to the Initiative Radio Network. Tonight we're having a special celebration, and I will be having maybe one or two more before the Ramadan 30 days is up. We were just listening to the sister who was explaining different ways of having a successful Ramadan. For instance, we supposed to read the Holy Quran for 30 days, it will be divided into 30 sections. And sometimes it's very difficult to do, with all the other things that you're trying to do when you're on the fast. Also, physically, you're a bit drained, you're sleepy, you're a bit tired. And if you go to work, of course, you're out there sometimes in the sun, and the heat definitely drains you if you haven't drinking. If you haven't drinking any water, during the 2 or 3 hours. So, that plays a lot into, sometimes not feeling like reading. So she said that you can team up with a person or a sister or, and to, find you a reading partner. That's a great idea also. Also, they have prayer lines where you can go on there and maybe read along with the Holy Quran that is being featured every day at 4:30, and the number is 712-770-4061, and that is the five-year prayer or the Ramadan prayer line each morning. It starts at 4 o'clock Central, but that would be, of course, 5 o'clock Eastern. But it's a beautiful prayer line, as I said, and you get up, and that have feature speakers each day. Then after that, they have a reading the whole Quran, and they, you know, so it's a beautiful, beautiful spiritual upliftment. And so with that, we're going to take a commercial break. Then we're going to play maybe one of the ministers. He has a, also he has a another fasting clip that I would love to play also. But in the meantime, Ms. Brian, I will update it. Commercial that Brother Anthony made. It's a beautiful commercial. I'm trying to find that one because it is absolutely great. Okay. Thank you.
In February of 1926, historian Carter G. Woodson launched Negro History Week, which later became Black History Month. On the Aunt Canary Experience, we celebrate Black History 12 months a year. Hi, I'm Aunt Canary, host of the Aunt Canary Experience, the show for all things about our history, not his story. On the Experience, we also talk about current events that affect the Black community and the country. So join me every Tuesday night from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. to get your weekly Black History lesson. You can listen live or call me at 563-999-3682. I talk about topics that schools are afraid to tell our children about. That's every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Please check out the Aunt Canary Experience.
Okay, thank you again, and welcome back to Initiative Radio Network. Tonight, I'm going to be speaking on Ramadan, and because it is this month, it started Saturday, and it will end like in 30 days. So for those of us that are able to, we are sustaining from water and food. For to, you know, you can eat it early in the morning before the sun. Also, eat when it's very, very late in the evening. So we are striving to do that. But for those that aren't able to do it, it's okay, because some of us aren't able to do it for physical reason, medical reason, etc. But if we can't partake in the food and water sustaining, you know, it's not all about food and water sustaining. It's about giving up things that aren't good or healthy for you. For instance, lying, backbiting, putting others down, being negative, being jealous, having envy in your heart, etc. Those things are to help us to overcome those in this month of Ramadan. But they're also to strengthen us after Ramadan so we won't be continuing to do the things that are displeasing or have a disunity. And so with that, we're going to play a bit of the minister. It's about 5 minutes or so of the meaning of fasting and why we used to do it in December, etc. So with that, let's play the clip.
And, you know, and I know that we're trying this reconciliation to bring the Muslim world together, the Black Muslims in particular, I would think. But they keep fighting as if this was some baby teaching, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad chose December. And as you are saying now, up with Jesus and down with Santa, what better time than this? You killed two birds with one stone, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught, and he desires ease for you. So what do you say, you know, to them publicly or to any of us that decide to do this in December, as he said?
I have nothing of negativity
okay.
to say to anyone
okay.
who would take Ramadan in the month of December. The wise teacher, and I want to say this to you that Muslims particularly, that like to make mockery. This book, Quran, in which we all say we believe, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he didn't start out giving you Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't start out with five daily prayers. He started out with people who were drinking.
Gambling.
Gambling. And killing their daughters.
Right. Barely.
So he teaches you. But the Quran is a book of wisdom that he's giving you by what?
Degrees.
By degrees.
Okay.
So what you are looking for is for the Muslim in America that have never known anything of Islam, even though our first fathers that were brought here were Muslims, which Alex Haley found out and put it in his book, Roots. We were Muslims. We didn't come here to learn about Ramadan or Allah or Muhammad or the Quran. We came here with that knowledge. But you must understand, Black America, that Islam being the natural religion of the black man.
Yes,
go to your library tomorrow and look up the book by Lothrop Stoddard, where he talks about Islam, the natural religion of the black man that brings out of the black man his militant propensities.
Yes.
If any of that you don't understand, look up the word militant and look up the word propensity. And look at Islam in the Western Hemisphere. Look at the slaves, the Maroons. Many of them were Muslims. In Brazil, in Haiti, Bukman was a Muslim. Makandal was a Muslim. These Muslims were the intelligentsia that fueled the spirit of Haiti to rise and fight and overthrow the greatest army in the world at that time, the army of Napoleon Bonaparte. Now look at yourself. Nat Turner didn't affect you. Denmark Vesey didn't affect you. Marcus Garvey didn't affect you like that. He made some of us militant nationalists. But let's go to Malcolm. Was he a Muslim? Why do you quote him? He was the most militant of the black leaders in the 60s. He was the father, spiritually, of the mind of Kwame Ture, known as Stokely Carmichael. Stokely was another Christian, till Malcolm went to Howard University and Stokely was in the audience and went off, man. He was so fired up. Black power came out of him. H. Rapp Brown, now Jamal al-Amin. These are Muslims and warriors. Your greatest warriors came out of the spirit of Islam. Where did Garvey get this mind from?
Right.
He was taught in England by a Muslim. So don't deny us.
Right.
We are the impetus. We are the germ that inspires life for you mentally. So those of you who get cowardly and go so far and stop and break down, just look at us.
Okay, thank you again, and welcome back to the Initiative Radio Network. Pamela K. Muhammad, and we were just listening to our dear beautiful minister who was breaking down or that the what we used to and some still do fast in the month of December because we were trying to break the tradition of celebrating the Christmas holiday. And therefore, we as the Nation of Islam, Muslim, used to, and some still do, fasting in the month of December. And he was saying, if you do fast in the month of December, that is fine. We all have to start at the beginning when the prophet brought the teachings. And he just didn't bring it to the holy and thou. He brought it to the ones who are most in need, the ones who are on drugs, the ones who are prostitutes, the ones who are drinking, the ones that don't have, any sense of their wisdom about themselves. So he brought it to the most humble ones, and therefore we as Muslims aren't to belittle or make mockery of people that may, you know, not have the same knowledge or ability that we have. We are to uplift them, and that's the purpose of it. So with that, if anyone have any question, and then that is fine. So I'm going to see, do we have any listeners that may be on and want to speak? If not, then Sister Pamela is going to wrap this beautiful show up, and we will call it tonight. So let me see if there's anyone online. So, if anyone don't have any questions, I don't have any comment, and then I'm going to wrap this show up. The program up tonight, and I hope that everyone has learned something, that they have been inspired, that hopefully that you would want to know more about Islam, and if you do, you can always ask, and I would try my best to give my teaching the best of my ability or direct you to someone that may can help you. But if you don't have any questions, I don't see. And for those that may want to submit questions sometimes when you're not able to reach Brother Maurice, this is Sister Pamela K. Muhammad. I have put my number on the page of the our page, the Initiative Radio Network Facebook page, which is 318-732-4573. So for those that aren't able to get through him, please text those questions or Facebook those questions to me or the comments. And my Facebook page is also Pamela K. S. and Kite Muhammad. You can inbox me the question or comment. If they are being read of Fabiancy and he is not able to get me the questions in time. And you know, I love to read you all's questions. Also, on Thursday, this Thursday, June the 1st, we're going to have a big celebration of our fourth anniversary, and definitely our beloved, dedicated listeners. We're going to give you some shout out. And so, please call in and, because this is our fourth celebration together. You have built this also. You are a very, very important part of the Initiative Radio Network. And I just want to say thank you all for always calling in or submitting your questions, et cetera. Thank you so much. Thank you. And I want to give praises. And, of course, always praises to Allah for enabling me to be on this program. Hopefully, I've inspired one or two of someone, and hopefully that we all have. And so with that, I'm going to close out the program tonight. I hope everyone has enjoyed it. And for those that are celebrating the month of Ramadan, I want to say Ramadan Mubarak to everyone. And I pray that you all are enjoying this Ramadan and that we all will do better in this world to make this world a better place. And we all can play a part in it, no matter what your religion, no matter what your race, your creed, what country you're in, etc. We all, if we were all just treat each other like we would like to be treated, it would be such a better, beautiful world, and we would have heaven on earth. But until then, our prayers are definitely due to Allah. I hope everyone have a blessed night. And then with that, I'm going to sign off. Thank you so, so very much. Assalamu alaikum.
To let